TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. It's Raised by Wolves.
Hello and welcome in Raised by Wolves on December 30th, the last one of the decade we're going to be doing here at Score North. And there is a little bit of, I guess we'll call it some news. I think probably terming it as a report is the right way to do it, that NBA teams, specifically the Golden State Warriors, are monitoring the status of Karl-Anthony Towns and his happiness, because that's what happens in this league where you get a superstar and then other teams try and check on and see how happy he is so they can try and trade for him. So when stuff like this happens, what we like to do, Manny, is we like to bring in our guy, Darren Doogie Wolfson, who's Scoops. Always on top of that. Doogie, how Scoops. You doing?
Happy almost New Year, gentlemen. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. So what do you know about this situation where Ethan Strauss of The Athletic said that NBA teams, specifically the Warriors, are monitoring Towns' happiness and whether or not he's going to be someone that does eventually. And to be very clear, he has not done this as of now, as we record this. He has not asked out, but that they are monitoring whether or not he will at some point.
Well, I'm sure some teams are monitoring the Wolf situation, just like teams are monitoring a lot of situations across the league.
Yeah.
I mean, heck, make no mistake, I think teams are actually monitoring Giannis' situation in Milwaukee.
As they should be.
And I think the Bucks are going to win the East. I think the Bucks are the best team in the Eastern Conference. You can make a case that the Bucks are the best team in the NBA. As it pertains to Karl-Anthony Towns and Ethan Strauss' story at The Athletic, is not the first story we've seen. I mean, go back a few days. Mark Berman, who's covered the NBA for a long time, New York Post, wrote a story about the Knicks monitoring Towns' situation. I think Ethan is very plugged in. I think Mark Berman is very plugged in. I think it's other teams. This is just my sense. It's other teams planting these seeds with the hope that if the narrative gets out there that Towns is allegedly unhappy, that maybe eventually it becomes a thing. And these teams would have a realistic opportunity to trade for Towns. Maybe it would even cause Carl to go to the Wolves and force his way out. Are we to that point? No. Do I believe that Karl-Anthony Towns is unhappy? Maybe to some extent.
No,
he's
no
hurt.
No
he hasn't played for a few weeks.
No,
I think,
listen,
they haven't won.
They've lost 12 of their last 13.
Yes.
Well,
so
yeah.
Logically speaking, of course, he's a little bit unhappy.
But do I think
it's to the point of him even becoming close to asking out? No, I don't think we're anywhere near that in year one of his five-year deal.
I can promise you that this very moment, Karl-Anthony Towns is probably unhappy. I bet Ryan Saunders is really unhappy right now. Mm-hmm. Kristen Rosas is probably not happy right now. No one in that organization is happy right now because they've lost 12 of their last 13. There aren't reasons to be happy, but I don't think it's anything near the extent of, oh, he wants out now. That's not where we're at right now. They're unhappy because they're in a losing streak. They're in a rut. That's why. I don't think it's anything more than that.
Doogie, what do you think the timeline is with all of this as far as when you think fans and people that are following the team should really be like concerned about Cat maybe getting to that point where he does decide to like, okay, this is just not working. Like, are we talking 2 or 3 years before we need to think about that? Or is it a year? I mean, what's your sense on like when everybody gets that right idea of like, okay, things could get shaken up here?
Well, I think based on social media, a lot of fans are already to that point.
Sure. Yeah.
I think internally it's not even close to that point, but I do think the clock is ticking. I do. I think at some point Karl-Anthony Towns wants to win and wants to win at a high level. But I think first and foremost, and I think at some point he'll talk soon.
Yeah.
Assuredly, he'll talk soon. I think when he talks, he will declare that more than anything, he wants to win here in Minnesota.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to win anywhere else. He wants to live up to his words, the promises he made to the Saunders family after Flip's passing. I think that does mean a lot to Karl-Anthony Towns. I think he's very image conscious.
Well, and
all right, so he doesn't want to let folks down.
Right.
But if it keeps hitting rock bottom, sure. I mean, I can't give you a definitive timetable. Is it 12 months from now, 18 months from now? You know, but I do think with multiple more years to go on this five-year extension that we're not quite to the point of, uh-oh, the sky is falling.
And I think that we've seen a lot of stars give very vague answers when it comes to this. And I don't think Carl's going to be one of those. I think I would expect Carl to kind of in a way, put his foot down and try and stop this. I would be surprised if he takes an approach that LeBron took, both leaving Cleveland, then leaving Miami, and then leaving Cleveland again, or even one that Giannis has taken where he said, well, winning will make it easier, but we'll see type of thing. I would expect mostly because there's so much time left on that contract, and things can certainly change in 2 years. But right now, I would expect him to put down something pretty strong the next time he speaks. And he's out with a knee sprain right now. I would be stunned if he plays tonight.
He's not playing tonight. We're recording this on Monday afternoon. They host the Nets. He's not playing tonight. I don't even know if he'll play midweek. Wiggins, I don't think, is playing tonight either. But of the two, there's a better chance Wiggins plays. I think Wiggins is back.
He's not
playing against the Nets, and I don't know if he's playing against the Bucks midweek. I don't know if he's playing against the Warriors. Oh, by the way, we're talking about the Warriors and this Ethan Strauss story. You know, might pick up a little steam with a bunch of Warriors reporters, coming to the Twin Cities on Thursday. But, yeah, I think he will. And, hey, we're talking about this. I can promise you, internally, they're also talking about this.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's at Mayo Clinic, Square Target Center, wherever. And I would think with maybe a little nudging from those above Karl Anthony Towns, they may encourage him to say something. So, yeah, I would be surprised if he doesn't say something in the near future.
What can you tell us about his relationship with the current regime? The regime obviously is new with Gerson Rosas. Ryan Saunders has always been around when Carl's been in the NBA, but not as a head coach. What can you tell us about his relationship with those guys?
I think it's very transparent. I mean, my understanding is that Ryan, Gerson, Carl have many conversations away from Mayo Clinic Square, in different social settings, religious settings. So, yeah, I mean, I get the sense that it's a rock-solid relationship. I think, they're very open with him. I think Carl knows everything that's going on with the organization. I don't think there's any secrets. And you think about it, just a year ago, rewind a year, yeah. Right? There wasn't anything close to that sort of transparency. I mean, Tibbs just wasn't a communicator in that regard. I mean, heck, Glenn Taylor struggled to communicate with Tibbs, So
I mean, imagine
what it was like for Karl Anthony Towns to get anything out of Tibbs. So, yeah, I mean, it's night and day compared to a year ago. Even though on the court we get it, they stink.
Yeah.
The results are pitiful. We all get that, but I think there is something to be said about just the camaraderie and, the big buzzword? I mean, Royce would laugh if we bring this up, but culture, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I do think, however you want to define culture, that the culture has been fixed in many different ways over there.
How close do you think they are to being a team that can get to the playoffs on a regular basis and eventually contend in the Western Conference? Because maybe our viewpoint of where they're at might be different from the viewpoint of Gerson Rosas and where he feels they're at. But what's your sense on where they feel they are at right now as far as getting themselves to be a contender?
They're still building this thing. I mean, yeah. They realize that the roster needs work. And heck, I fell for it. Like, I remember doing a different podcast on December 1st, just looking at the landscape of the West and thinking, And they were in the 7th or 8th spot at the time, thinking, you know what? Yeah, maybe they can make a little run this year. I'm not suggesting 40-something wins. I said preseason 32 victories.
That's what I had, too.
And they still might even get to 32, although maybe that's being overly optimistic. But yeah, I thought on December 1st, maybe there was a chance. Now fast forward 3.5 weeks. I mean, they're not going to the playoffs. And, I mean, you look at the current roster, Manny. How many of these guys are, legitimately back next year? Like, you can sit here today and say, that guy is back next year. All right, Karl Anthony Towns, yes.
Yep.
I'm just telling you, they would trade everybody else. Like, I can tell you this. Scoops. Oh,
here we go.
Scoops, baby.
They've let the league know, come get Robert Covington. But the price is really high.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Really, really high. I had an Eastern Conference executive tell me the price is stupidly high. Does it maybe come down by February 6th? Is that the day of
February
the trade deadline?
7th, I believe. February
6th or 7th. Maybe the price comes down.
And it's fair to say it.
But I'm just saying, I can't even sit here right now definitively and tell you 1 year from now Robert Covington is here. The only guy I can do that. I can't even do it on Jarrett Culver, although they couldn't get anything for him right now. But I'm just saying there's only one guy that I feel confident sitting here and saying 1 year from now. Now, can I even sit here and say confidently 2 years from now that Towns is here? Who knows? But 1 year from now, I can sit here and tell you confidently that I think Karl Anthony Towns is here. Otherwise, fair game. Even Wiggins, fair game.
Oh, sure.
The rest of the roster is fair game. So the roster needs a ton of work.
I do think it's smart to make everyone other than Towns available, too.
Yeah.
That's the thing. This is a roster that isn't going anywhere fast right now. You've got a couple of potentially core pieces. But if you look at Robert Covington, who's the name you brought up and the name that if he is truly available and truly the Wolves will trade him, he's going to be one of the guys at the top of the market because there just aren't a ton of players that are quite like him, especially making the number that he makes at $11 million a year.
And you have a lot of teams that feel like they can make a run.
And
that there isn't this mm-hmm. dynasty Warriors team that
yeah.
that legitimately there's 4, 5, 6 teams in the Eastern Conference, even a team like Indiana that should get back Oladipo at some point. Like we're talking East about Milwaukee and Philly. You know,
Philly could add him back with his shooting and defense.
Yeah.
They're a much better team. If
so I'm just saying. I think there's like legitimately 6 teams in the East. Maybe 7. Well, 6 probably, depending on what you think of Toronto. But there's like 6 teams in the East that feel like, okay, we can make a run. In yeah. the Western Conference, I think there's 6 teams.
And I think there's something to be said that
Gerson, so that's 12 teams that I'm telling you all have interest in Robert Covington in some form or fashion.
Gerson Rosas has always talked about the timeline, too, surrounding the timeline with Karl-Anthony Towns. Robert Covington just turned 29. He doesn't exactly fit that timeline as well as one immediately might think because he's already been here.
He might not fit the Kyle Lowry talk. I mean,
I don't understand it either.
I don't think Toronto's trading him anytime real soon.
Yeah.
He's a cult hero up there. They signed him to the 1-year extension. And B, even though he's playing at a really high level, he's, what, 34 years old?
Yeah, I don't understand.
Chris Paul in OKC. Okay, OKC would happily move him.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't fit the timeline.
35, 34, yeah. 35.
Well, and he's playing. I mean, he's been great this year for them.
If they weren't interested in Russell Westbrook, which I don't think they should have been, why would they be interested in Kyle Lowry? That never made sense to me.
I mean, like, I'll give you a guy that they should have some interest in. You ready for this one?
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Holiday of Indiana.
Okay.
Find a guy like that.
I don't think.
And not just one-for-one. You got to match up some salary.
Yeah.
You know, so it's easier said than done. But if you're moving Covington, it's that sort of player that you should be targeting.
Well, while we have you, let's fast forward a little bit to the deadline. How active do you think they are in not just trade discussions? Because I think everyone is well aware that whoever calls Gerson Rosas is going to be able to talk to Gerson Rosas. He's going to work with whatever team wants to try and make a deal. Now, he's going to have high asking prices, but he's not going to just ignore phone calls either. How active do you expect them to be leading up to the trade deadline?
I think pretty active. Although I'll tell you, I mean, today I was texting with an Eastern Conference general manager on something actually unrelated to the NBA, but I happened to say, hey, you know, any active dialogue with the Wolves? He said no. You know, so it's not like there's something going on with every single team.
Sure.
But yeah, I think he is going to be more active than he is reactive.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be more the aggressor than the one taking all these phone calls. I think he's going to initiate a lot of these conversations, even if it's just a simple text to somebody saying, hey, you know, what are you thinking on so-and-so? Or do you have interest in this guy? I think he's going to be uber aggressive in that regard.
How's the owner feeling about all this?
Yeah, well, you know what? It's on my list of things to do. I was going to wait until the Viking season finishes to reach back out to him. So, you know, I'll just tell you frankly, Manny, I've not been in touch with the owner in the last handful of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Some people who know him pretty well suggest that he's not real happy. We talked about that when I was hosting Score North Live last week.
Yeah.
I mean, how could he be, right? I mean, going back to Carl and everybody with the team, I mean, when you've lost, what is it, 12 or 13, 13 to 14?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm foreshadowing what's going to take place here on Monday night.
Very potentially could be.
Yeah, I mean, no Wiggins, no Towns. I mean, pack a lunch against the Nets, even although with their injury concerns.
Yeah, they don't have LeVert or Nick Claxton, obviously. Kyrie Irving's still out, unfortunately.
Yeah, but I still like Jared Allen. I still like some of the pieces
Spencer
they have.
Spencer Dinwiddie's great.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be another guy. I had Ian Begley on the Scoop podcast a couple weeks ago. I threw out because he covers the Knicks and the Nets and the NBA as a whole for SNY in New York. He had the report about Dennis Smith Jr., who I mean, the Wolves have checked in on Smith Jr.
Sure.
They've checked in on Schroeder in Oklahoma City. They've checked in on a bunch of guards. I mean, it's not a secret. They're looking for an upgrade at the guard position, so they've checked in on a bunch of guys. But, you know, I just said to Ian, like, any chance they could pry Dinwiddie out of Brooklyn, and his immediate response was, yeah, I don't see it.
I would be very
surprised.
Just,
there's not a match. I mean, it's not Covington for Dinwiddie. You're not giving up Cat. It's just there's not really a one-for-one or just you looking at those two teams. Unless you involve a third team, then it gets complicated. Just Dinwiddie, just it doesn't seem like he's realistic. But I would love Spencer Dinwiddie here.
Yeah, I would be very surprised if they wanted to move on from him, too. I mean, he's been the thing that's kind of kept their season afloat.
Well, and yeah, I mean, and with no real return date like established for Kyrie.
Yeah.
Like we thought maybe he'd be back by mid-December, but the longer this thing lingers, Like, there's no way. I think you can have a realistic conversation about over the next couple of years, can Kyrie and Dinwiddie coexist? And I think maybe they can, sure. But that's a fair conversation. But as long as Kyrie's out and we don't know when he's going to return and Brooklyn can still capture maybe one of those last couple playoff spots in the Eastern Conference, they're not moving Dinwiddie.
In terms of, I mean, physical tools and on-court ability, I think Kyrie can coexist with anybody. It's the off the court and the mental stuff that I'm less confident in. But I think in terms of just his game, I think that it meshes well with every type of game. I don't think that's an issue.
Remember, it was just – how long ago was it, Manny? Where Kyrie – and this was true. Do you remember this? Kyrie had the Minnesota Timberwolves.
I remember where I was.
On his wish list.
Late summer 2017.
Yeah, I mean, it really wasn't
right
that long
they
ago.
Traded for Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, now, you know, now just a couple years later, we're talking about, even though it's not happening, but these stories out there about the Wolf star player being unhappy and maybe eventually saying, hey, I want out of here. Just it is amazing how fast things can change.
Yeah, that was I will never forget where I was when I found out about that. That was such a bizarre situation where I, coming off of three straight finals appearances, playing with the best player in the world, he wanted out. I will never quite be able to wrap my head around
because it was what? It was the Wolves and the Spurs.
Mm-hmm.
And
then
the Knicks.
Yeah, the Knicks were the other team. Boston was not on
his list.
And then, of course, that's where he ended up going. But, yeah, that was amazing. And there was so much debate about, okay, well, they just got Teague, and could you put Kyrie and Teague in the same backcourt? And should they trade Wiggins or give Wiggins the extension and all of that? It was that was a crazy, crazy summer.
Well, Doogie, thank you for joining us. Appreciate you setting the record straight a little bit here.
You got it.
The Carl Anthony Towns.
You want to do a rip session on Jarrett Culver? I don't think he can play.
Really? What? Give us 2 minutes on Jarrett Culver. What don't you like?
I think, you know what? Let me back off a little bit. I think he can sustain a career in the league for a while. I think he can earn a second contract, a big money second contract, no. But I think he can sustain having a gig in the NBA for many years because I think his defense is plus. I do. So
I agree.
I think he can defend enough to last in the league for a while. I don't know if that shot's ever going to get fixed. I just don't see the proof.
Yeah.
And he can't even shoot free throws. So I think over the last, maybe the numbers, Danny, you're great with the numbers. I don't know. Maybe the numbers don't back this up. But my sense is over the last couple of weeks, he's finishing better at the rim.
Okay.
Now, he was such a bad finisher October, November at the rim,
yeah,
that he could only go up. But I think the numbers are a little bit better at the rim over the last 2, 3, 4 weeks. So if he's finishing at the rim, that's a positive. But if he's not and he's getting fouled, there's zero faith that he's making those free throws.
Shooting 40% from the line so far.
Yeah, and I just – that shot is so ugly.
That's – well, I mean,
I don't really know what the heck Gerson was doing there. Like, I don't know if that was a panic move that – he just never imagined in a million years that the Cavs would pull the trigger on Darius Garland. I don't know. But they had the book on Kobe White because he was here for a workout. They had the book on Tyler Hero, who they liked. There were some red flags there, some stuff that told them, yeah, I don't know. But even with the red flags, I mean, just they had Culver way higher on their board than Tyler Hero. But like at this point, and I get it, it's a relatively small sample size, but for the next 4 or 5 years. Like, it's not even close. Give me Tyler Hero.
Yeah.
They could have stayed at pick 11. And I get it. They didn't want to commit long-term money to Dario Saric. And I don't think Saric wanted to be here.
It made sense to move.
But maybe there was a different trade out there for Saric.
Yeah.
You know, so I just
it's concerning.
I'm willing to give Gerson more time. He deserves more time. You know, but I wouldn't do anything drastic like calling for his head. But I mean, that was a big boy move, and that's a big boy move that looks like a freaking disaster.
But it is concerning because Danny and I have talked about it all leading up to the draft. Like, these next couple draft picks, they got to get something out of them, whether it's the player that they actually take or if they make a move and whatever they get in return for that pick. This is how you're going to be able to build a team, is that you got to hit on these guys, and they can't really – When the clock is ticking on Cat, and certainly there's no room for panic now, but when the clock is ticking, you got to hit on more of your moves than not. And it's kind of concerning when, like, that first pick is not really showing a whole lot right now. Early on, and again, there's A lot of basketball left to be played this year, but right now it's a little concerning.
I like the second pick. I think Noel's got a chance.
I think he's going to be an NBA player. You know what? I think Naz Reid's going to be an NBA
player. An NBA player. I can just tell you from the G League showcase, I mean, Rosas was out there. The Wolves had five or six or seven or eight front office members out in Vegas.
That is essentially...
The whole league was out there in Vegas a couple weeks ago.
It's the NBA convention without... all the media that's
it's Reed summer was league one of those guys like if you text the league people they will tell you, like if you say give me five names that stood out at the G League showcase, Reed would be one of those five. That's how good he performed so no doubt in my mind. So that was a good move. I like Noel, but Culver they're scouting a lot, Manny. I mean, just even when they were out in Vegas, there were some college games out there. Kentucky was playing out there. Ohio State played out there. I mean, they're out and about. I mean, their scouts are everywhere watching all these college kids. So they're going to have the book on these kids. But you talk to enough league people, they'll tell you that this draft looks really, really bad.
Yeah, I know. We just had Myron on. I did 2 hours of Score North Live with Myron, and he was talking about the same thing. Like, this upcoming draft 2020, there's not really a whole lot there.
I think there's some guards, though.
Yeah.
I think the little ball kid, even if dad is a pain in the ass, whatever.
Dad has been quiet.
He's been really quiet.
He has been really quiet.
LeVar's been really quiet.
I sense something's coming eventually, though. I don't know if he can remain quiet for a while, but I think the little ball kid can play. I think Cole Anthony, even though he's hurt right now, and who knows? I mean, there's some people in the college game saying there's no reason for him to come back. North Carolina stinks.
Right.
You know, like he doesn't have the guys to help make him look better. You know, why rush back from this injury? So who knows if Cole Anthony even comes back for North Carolina. But Greg Anthony's kid, I think, can play. I think R.J. Hampton can play, although he's injured now. Like, all these guys have shut down. Mm-hmm. Ball is not playing right now. Hampton isn't playing right now. Wiseman isn't playing right now.
And won't be.
Anthony isn't playing right now. Like, a lot of these guys are not even playing.
And the concerning thing is there might be some of these guys in this 2020 draft who might end up being good NBA players. But, like...
I mean,
when you look at where the Wolves are, but the Wolves,
we're not going to go a whole draft without a few guys that turn out to be pretty darn good.
But you look at the Wolves, and it's like they need another guy, like they need another like star caliber player to pair with Cat if they're really gonna go somewhere. And it's hard to right now, and we could be completely wrong. 2-3 years from now, there might be somebody in this draft that ends up being a stud. But like, it's hard to really envision. An easy path for them finding that second like true stud star player.
Well, I mean, and I can exit. You guys can pick up this point when I leave. But like, is Carl the main guy? Like, do you need an alpha and Carl's the B guy, the two guy?
Yeah,
I have.
It's a very fair question.
I have over the last month or so, I've talked to a couple of scouts that work for different. Teams, one Eastern Conference team, one Western Conference team, and they don't think he's a winner. They don't think that you can be a winning team, a championship team with Carl Anthony Towns as your best player.
It's just, it's hard at that position.
It's hard at that position when you're not good defensively.
You need the guards to get you the ball.
And
somebody dynamic to get you the ball.
You have to be able to protect the rim. And Towns, ESPN's real plus minus is a little bit flawed early in the season. But of qualifying centers, he was 51 of 53.
Well, he's never been a rim protector.
No. But he's got the second worst defensive rating on the team, and the only one that's worse is Jordan Bell, and he plays 10 minutes a game. So the defensive metrics don't say that he's improved at all this year. And that was something that I think we thought early on, but since then he's not been great. And even furthermore, he's missed the last six games now. It'll be seven tonight. Their defensive rating with him on the floor in the month of December is the worst in the NBA. They gave up 123.5 points per 100 possession when he was playing in games this year, this December, excuse me. Since he's been out, they have gone from worst in defense to fourth in defense in the NBA over the last six games. So it's been a drastic shift. That's why there are people around the league that don't believe he's someone that you can build a winning team around.
I'll tell you this much. Hopefully they play somewhat pretty basketball. If it's not tonight, Wednesday in Milwaukee, Thursday. Like, the last two games have been so painful to watch.
The Cavs game.
I was
on
there
Saturday.
On Saturday, then that Sacramento game. I mean, I don't know which game was worse. Like, they were both incredibly painful. I mean, that's where we're at. And there was so much excitement in the summer.
Yeah. And even into the season at 7-4, you're like, okay, well.
And I think enough people bought into Bahamas and Kumbaya.
Yeah.
everybody loving each other. And I'm telling you, I mean, there's some genuineness to that.
Sure.
I do think it's just a better overall environment over there. But at some point, you do need to win games.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right, exactly what it comes down to. But all right, Doogie, thank you for joining us.
All right, boys, take it easy.
Appreciate it.
Yeah,
thank
absolutely.
You so
much. Happy New Year.